For the next 3 weeks, we'll be in a sermon series called Your True Identity. And we're going to be talking about making sure that each of us have unwrapped the beautiful gift mix that God has given to each of us individually. Your gift has your name on it. It's not anybody else's. You have been given a gift or a gift mix by God that is completely yours. And it is contributing to your identity as a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles this morning, please be turning to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Renata read these verses earlier, but as you're turning there, we're looking at this topic in our church this morning because it is part of our development as a healthy body. Amen? Just like nutrition and exercise and eating right and movement are a part of you developing physically as a person, engaging in study and keeping the mind active and making sure that Jesus is the center of our lives, it creates a holistic, balanced approach. That's why our church is called Living Well. We believe that we don't have the authority to deny Jesus access to any area of our life. Amen? He desires and deserves to be Lord of every area of our life. And at Living Well Church of the Nazarene, we invite Jesus in to the very center where he begins to administer his help and healing in every area of our life. This morning, we are starting a study on spiritual gifts because it's part of the 8 characteristics of a healthy church. 8 characteristics of a healthy church. Many of you perhaps took a spiritual gift or a spiritual health survey of our church several months ago. We are continuing in that pursuit of identifying the areas where we need work, development in, where our weaknesses are, where our lowest minimum factor is. And it just so happened that spiritual gifts or gift-oriented ministry is where our weakness is. Now, we've tested as a healthy church, and loving relationships topped where we're the strongest, but there has to be a lowest minimum characteristic, and that happened to be gift-oriented ministry. So we're going to spend some time. Let me just give you the 8 characteristics of a healthy church, and this applies to every area of our life. Empowering leadership, passionate spirituality, functional structures, inspiring worship services, holistic small groups, loving relationships, and today, one more, need-oriented evangelism and gift-oriented ministry. 1 Peter 4:10. If you've been around me for any bit of time, it's not long before I tell you that this verse is my call to ministry. Many of you have heard my story. I'm not going to share it today other than to say I was in the weeds until God gave me this verse. And I pray that it will have some effect on you, at least a measure of the effect it had on me, because it changed my life. It gave me direction. Here it is. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. We're just going to kind of, in the next 3 weeks, we're going to take this verse, we're going to just look at the different phrases and learn from it. Amen? I'm ready to plant. I got my tomatoes. I stopped by the store while it was, let's see, when did I get these? Clear back in May, I got these plants. I was all ready to plant, you know, get my tomatoes in, and I'm thinking, you know, this would be a great year to plant. And I was anticipating the harvest, and I never got around to it. Now, I didn't let them die. I obviously kept them in a sheltered place, and I kept them watered, and they kept blowing over and blowing down the steps, and I kept picking them up and putting them on the porch and putting more water in there, and you know, they never did die. I was kind of surprised by it, but they just kept on living. And then it began, around about the end of June, it began to be kind of interesting to me that these things didn't die. They just kept on living. They kept on being green. They kept on smelling like a tomato. They kept on feeling like a tomato. They kept on just being a tomato. So we had even more fun this year with our tomato endeavor. Many of you know that we planted a early girl back there by the barber shop, and if you haven't seen a 12 or 14 foot tomato, there's one. That's my little dog Tia there at the bottom. Yeah. This plant was actually grown about 3 years ago. This plant produced, not kidding, my dad kept a record, 350 tomatoes off of that plant. Now, I took pictures of the one that we have planted this year. It's not quite as spectacular because we didn't get it in until Father's Day. And there's a whole story behind that between Jeanette and my dad that we won't get into. But anyway, this plant produced 350 tomatoes. The year before that, 325 some tomatoes. We kept a record. We gave tomatoes to everybody we knew. And the plant that we have in that space this year is producing like crazy, but we didn't get it in till Father's Day, which is late. Now, it is just completely loaded with green tomatoes, the plant that we have in there this year. I mean, if you started to peel the branches back, you would see literally like clusters of beautiful, beautiful tomatoes. But they're green. And not all of them, we realize, are going to ripen before the frost comes and ruin everything. And so what we'll do, many of you probably have done this, you'll take the green tomatoes and go ahead and pick them before the frost, bring them in, set them in a windowsill, and you'll still have tomatoes by October and into November as they ripen. We don't want those to go to waste. I actually kept these tomatoes, it's kind of humorous to me, I kept these tomatoes alive by putting them in the shade of the big tomato, that one, or the early girl. But here we are in the middle of September, and these tomatoes didn't produce any fruit. Can you hear me all the way back? Now, while they didn't produce anything, I spent more time on these than I did the big early girl planted in front of the barber shop. Kind of a shame, isn't it? All of the potential that is in that is in each one of these two. I just didn't get around to planting it. The Bible has a lot to say about the priority of producing fruit. If you have your Bibles, turn again to John chapter 15, verse 8. Got a nice little early girl here from the tomato in front of the barber shop. I'm just going to make you a little jealous this morning. What would make this amazing is just a little bit of salt, but you know, I can do without it. I know you'll feel sorry for me, but that's okay. You know, you just kind of, can you, My mouth is watering right now. How many of you love tomatoes? Oh, look at this. How many of you can't stand them? There's a few, okay. I love tomatoes, and my dad loves tomatoes even more. And oh, that's good. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We're going to look at John a little bit further. A couple different verses here in a little bit. But Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will produce much fruit. Remaining in Christ, quite simply, is, now this is going to bend your theology, maybe. It's going to be different than what you've been taught, potentially. Remaining in Christ is to grow. Just let that sit for a minute. Let it conflict with any ideas that you have about what it means to remain in the vine, if there's confliction in your heart. And just let the word of Jesus settle in this morning. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If you remain in me, you will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's possible that we have twisted the words of Jesus to mean that remaining means to sit in a tray and stay a tomato, stay green, and stay alive. But Jesus has created us with such potential that may remain untapped unless we become willing to be tended by the Master. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. One of the most fulfilling ways to increase your fruit is to figure out what kind of fruit you're supposed to be producing. Amen, Lisa? Lisa's different than me. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we're a little different. Our temperaments are different. Our talents are different. She's gifted in ways that I couldn't even try. We're different. We've been created differently. And that's good. So she's going to produce one particular kind of fruit. I'm going to produce different kinds of fruit than Lisa does. And all of us are going to produce different kinds of fruit. Fruits of production we're talking about. We would not expect a pear tree would produce oranges, nor would we expect an apple tree to produce tomatoes, right? However, we would expect that a peach tree would produce a fairly predictable amount of peaches. Not rocket science here. I'm going to be telling you more about how to take a spiritual gift survey in a few moments. There are some slips of paper. Devin, did you get those cut and placed over here on the table? There's some slips of paper on the table. I want you to pick one up before you go. It has a website on it where you can take a free spiritual gift survey. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. Let's go back to our scripture. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Let's start with each one. Each one. You have a responsibility, I have a responsibility to utilize the gifts that God has given me. There is no way that I can utilize Rob's gifts for him. He has to do it by himself. But his gifts will be edified and utilized within the body of Christ, just like my gifts will be. Jason has a particular gift mix that may only be identified and edified to edify Christ within the body of Christ. The gifts of the Spirit have been given to edify the body of Christ, to grow the body, to make the body effective in its purpose. Each one of us has a personal responsibility to figure out what in the world kind of fruit am I supposed to be producing. Each one also helps us understand that we have a personal responsibility to take this on before God. It's not something that we're just an idea, a church growth guy came up and said, you know, it'd be cool if you guys all, you know, figured out what you guys could do best. This is from God's word itself. Each one. And as the Apostle Peter is writing to the church, he's expecting that each one will utilize the functions that God has created them with as particular parts of the body, because if someone isn't doing their part, it's kind of like, you know, have you thanked your nose lately? Your nose is doing some amazing things. It's probably smelling that candle over there, sending subtle signals to your brain of what kind of candle was that, Jeanette? Apples. Apple what? Apple cinnamon. And you're thinking, I would just love some Apple Jacks. When you were walked in, you're just, I have a craving for Apple Jacks. Or cinnamon toast or something. Your nose is doing its job. Thank your nose. You see, each of us has a particular responsibility within the body of Christ. And let's appreciate the diversity that he has given us. Amen. And thank each other for doing our part. Each one. We have a responsibility to discover and utilize our gift development in order to produce fruit. What a loss. What a loss of benefit in the lives of others if we actually believe that once we are saved, that we have achieved all God has for us to understand or accept, and we become complacent to be saved, but we refuse to grow for a variety of reasons. Praise God, I'm saved. I've been in the church long enough to have seen this exist for decades. Sometimes we refuse to grow for good reasons. When we transplanted that early girl out of the pot that it was in this year, it was in a nice pot, and Jeanette gave it to my dad for Father's Day and said, okay, you can have your tomato as long as you, there was a whole contract and everything. Okay, it was, my dad loved it. By the way, Dad, Mom, good to have you with us this morning online. It went through a real shock. It was about this tall, and we knew it was risky transplanting that from the pot into the flower bed. And that thing, literally, as soon as we planted it and took it out of its safe little pot and put it in the dirt, it went. And I thought I killed it. And it took literally 2 weeks of sheltering it from the wind and watering it and keeping it nurtured and propping up the vines. And pretty soon, that thing caught whatever's down in that dirt, making that those tomatoes grow so awesome. And that thing started to, I mean, it's an early girl and everything, but it started to go. Well, burly girl, that's right, right. We resist. We resist being transplanted for a variety of reasons. Fear, cost, risk, loss of comfort. As we mature, we learn that there is so much more to being a follower of Jesus Christ than just avoiding hell. And we learn that He has given us the privilege and joy of working in His vineyard. Luke 10:2, Jesus is turning to His disciples, and He turned to them and He said, "The harvest is plentiful. Look at it. But the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." And I'm thankful for the missionaries, 742 missionaries that you help support through your giving in the Church of the Nazarene that are ministering and working in out of buildings that Alabaster's providing. But they're not our only missionaries. Steve, you're a missionary at your job. Stephanie, you're a missionary at your work. Joey and Skyler, you guys are missionaries at school. I'm a missionary with every client that I have come in, every customer I have in the barbershop. We're all missionaries. Each one should use. Should use. Now, when you go to your primary care physician, if your primary care physician is like mine, he's always asking me about my exercise. Dr. Ayer. Because you know Dr. Ayer, he's a walker. He is, I mean, he's about this big around and about this tall. But that guy is a stick of dynamite. He is a walker. Each one should use. I can be blessed with gifts, but if I am not using them, I am not using them. Each one should use. Discover our gifts and utilize them within the body of Christ to do the work of God. Each one, personal responsibility, should use. How many of you have ever had a broken bone and had your arm in a cast or your leg in a cast, and you take that off, scratching it with a pencil and everything. You take that off. Remember, we were a long ways away from here, but Paul, years ago, broke his kneecap right in half. Half of it went up here, half of it went down there. Surgery, everything. And make a long story short, cast for weeks. And when that thing came off, that one leg didn't look so good. Why? Because it hadn't been used. Atrophy had set in, and he had to really work that leg just to bring back normal function, let alone bring back the muscle mass that he had lost from just a few weeks of not using it. Oh, this is for the church. Without using the gifts that we have been created with, atrophy sets in. And you know what the natural thing to do is? To sit and to not use it because it's painful, it's hard, it's difficult to make those muscles work again. They're very content to stay in the tray and be sheltered by the big boys or the early girls and just move along through life and be content to say, well, I'm still alive. I'm still a tomato. I still smell like a tomato and I have potential. But all the while, the clock is ticking and time is wasting. And Jesus is saying, the harvest is plentiful, and why are you still in the tray? Get out there and do what you've been created to do. Another thing that stops us from utilizing our gifts is fear. Overcoming the fear of using our gifts is like riding a bike, learning to ride a bike. I'm going to tell you a little story. When I was called to the ministry by the verse that by God and the verse that He told me, I was scared to death because I had never been forced to speak in public. I'd never been forced to speak in front of people. And I knew that that was going to be something that I was probably going to have to do. And so what I did was, in my apartment, when I knew everybody else was at class, in Jeanette and I's apartment, when everybody else was in class, I opened my Bible and I just asked God to open my mouth and free my tongue. And I got to tell you, it was a miracle, but it was not easy and it was not comfortable. And I felt if anybody is around and hears me just trying to talk fluently, which I was never good at, they're going to think I'm weird or something. What I'm saying is, you got to get in a place where you're willing to do whatever it takes to develop the gift that God has given you. And it will be uncomfortable. It will be embarrassing sometimes because we're not all that good at, you know, but look at how clumsy some of the little animals are, you know, when they're first born and they go through this adolescent stage of being really awkward and they're funny. But before long, like a cheetah, I mean, they're cruising at 70 miles an hour because they have learned to use the gifts that they've been created with. Should use whatever gift he has received. We are all different, just as the various parts of the body have been given different functions. I might add that emphasize that we should be thankful for the diversity of the body. Amen? And in Scripture it says, just because one person is this and the other person is this, doesn't mean that just because you would rather be that you can stop being what you are to be that. Amen? And in that all, it means that let's develop an appreciation for the diversity, for the differences. And there's going to be people who just don't get what you're doing. They not only can't do it physically, they can't do it emotionally or mentally. And then there's other kinds of work that other people look at you and just go like, I could never do that. I'm glad you're doing it, but I can't do it. There's a lot that could be said there. We'll keep the train of moving here. We could expect that a person gifted with the gift of teaching would be very effective at teaching a class. But we cannot expect that a person who scores very low on the scale of, you know, the spiritual gift test of compassion, they score very low, we wouldn't want to put them in charge of the Compassionate Ministry Center of the church. Somebody comes in with a lot of need and they're like, yeah, you know, you got anything that I could, you know, what did you do to put yourself in such a position? You know, we need that, but not the face of the Compassionate Ministry Center. You know what I'm saying? Say, all right. Factors that determine our effectiveness of our gifts. Number one is time. We all have a limited amount of time. Charles Swindoll wrote a series of devotions called Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life. Help me recognize that we all are going through life and we have a particular season to participate in. And each season builds on the next. Winter is the time to anticipate and plan. Spring is the time to be in the field, working, getting ready to plant and plant. Summer is the time of just work. And some of you are in that chapter now. That's That's pretty much the demographic of our church. Most of us are in the summertime of our lives. We're baling hay. We are putting it out there. There's just not much margin in our lives because we're in summertime, and that comes with the age that we are in. Most of us are, you know, under 50. And then as we get older, that's when the harvest begins to come in, and we get to enjoy the fun of harvest. But that's work too. For instance, the senior saints of the church, not just Living Well, but the church in general, the big church, senior saints recognize the brevity of time like no other. Right now, they're probably thinking about removing barriers and pulling the rocks out of the field for the next generation and how to get the barriers out of the way so the next generation can get the crop in. They're doing things like planning the distribution of their estate because they don't want it to be all taken away by taxes. Because if you don't make the decision where the money's going to go, the state will. So you're thinking about planning your estate because you want to remove barriers for the next generation. You're beginning to mentor the next generation of farmers. You're planning goals for yourself and your family and your friends. And then it comes all down to this, a willingness to be tended. While we cannot necessarily choose our area of giftedness, we can choose our willingness to be developed by agreeing to be transplanted and pruned. I'm going to give this little tomato a free will this morning. And I'm going to act like it's told me that he refuses to be planted. So as God, I'm going to say, okay. Now we do that in our spiritual lives sometimes because of fear, cost, and other reasons. Let's look at Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Have you agreed to be transplanted? Oh, that's painful. Oh, it's scary. You might die. Seriously. You might not make it through it. But haven't we all heard that to refuse to change is to begin to die anyway? Maybe a different kind of death. But let's look at also to be pruned, character development. John chapter 15, 1 through 8, coming in for a landing here, folks. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Man, that's no fun, is it? That is painful. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Next is seeds. I've got pages here, but I'm going to abbreviate. The beauty of a seed is it contains all the potential of an adult plant. It just has to be dispersed. We don't get to choose what will happen with that seed, but our responsibility as disciples is to scatter the seed. And we know Jesus said some of that seed that you are scattering will fall on good soil, some of it will fall on bad soil. But your role is to scatter the seed. seeds remain viable for a very long time. And Jesus said his word will not return void. Next is soil. Let's be liberal in our seed sharing, knowing that some of the soil will not produce very good. But that's not up to us. All right. Last page, Brother Brad. You've got a website on that little slip of paper. Be sure and pick that up before you go today. Maybe you want to just write it down. HTTPS. All right. You're going to want to, it's going to take you to a screen like this. And you're going to want to click the left side, this box right here. This is for individual users. There's no charge for this. Some of you have already taken it. And what I'd like to do, I have a stack of cards at home of people who told me last time that we were going to talk about this, that they wanted to take a spiritual gift survey. I have those cards. But what I'd also like to do is for you to respond back to me and take responsibility for development of your spiritual gifts. Because what I'd like to do is put your name and what your primary area of giftedness is. I know some of you are going to say, well, I don't feel comfortable doing that. It's okay. But I want to encourage you out of the tray and into the real dirt. Even our young people should take the spiritual gift survey. It could spare you an incredible amount of wandering later on when you begin to realize how God has gifted you and how you could utilize it for Him. So let me know. Text me or email me or call me and let me know where your gifts are. And I'd like to just create a little roster. Says, Jeanette's gifted at, Deb's gifted at. Some of you are going to be like, really? Some of you are going to be like, oh, duh. Yeah.
Do I need for a taste tester?
Taste tester. I didn't see that in any of the lists of spiritual gifts. All right. Worship team, would you come on up? And we will read scripture as we close our service this morning. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for administering your grace this morning in our lives. Thank you for this knowledge of the importance that you place on you, on us, your creation, producing fruit. Help us, Lord, to take responsibility today, this week. Help us, Lord, to consent to being transplanted, to being pruned, so that we can produce fruit. Help us to remain in you and produce fruit. Help us to understand what kind of fruit we are made to produce. And send us out, Lord, into your harvest field to complete the work that you have given us to do. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.
Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Will you join us in the doxology?
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.